The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 8th Chapter, Text Number 51, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on May 13, 1973, in Los Angeles.
I have killed many friends of women and have thus caused enmity to such an extent that it is not possible to undo it by material welfare work.
So, here is a special reference to the woman, Strinam. Previously, there was reference, Baladija. Previous verse. Yes. Balak Tija Suhin Mitra Pitri Bhatri Gurun Duha. Bala. Bala means children. Dija. Dija means Brahman or Vaishnava. Were fully engaged in the matter of cultivating spiritual knowledge. Brahma janati iti brahmana. One who knows what is absolute truth, Brahma. So, children, brahman. And here it is said, stri, woman. According to Vedic politics, the children and Brahman, old man and woman, they are no fault. They are out of all laws of the state. Their fault will never be taken as seriously. They are innocent. They require protection. Now, the agitation is that woman should have equal rights with man. That is not Vedic idea. Vedic idea is that woman should be always protected. She is not independent. Just like child. All these children, their mother is always attentive. Child is going here, she is taking care. So, that dependence is required. If the child says, I am independent, that is not for his profit. The child must be taken care of. That is good. Similarly, woman also, it's an old man like us. I'm always taken care of. Similarly, a brahmana also should be taken care of. First consideration, first protection, brahmana, saintly person. That is civilization. That is human society. Not that the children, the woman and the brahmana should be treated like cats and dogs. No, that is not civilization. So Maharaj Yudhishthira is very much repentant. I have killed so many men, and they are, some of them are father, some of them are brother, some of them are sons, some of them are husbands of the women. And because I have killed them, now these women class, they have become friendless. So he is just see how much he is aggrieved, thinking of the condition of the woman. And people accuse that in India, women are considered just like slaves. You see, the king is thinking of woman so seriously, and is it a fact that in India woman is taken as slaves? Who cares for the slaves? So much anxiety. And that is king. The king shall give protection to everyone, especially those who are helpless. So, woman is protected in childhood by the father. And when she is grown up, a girl, youth, although the father is ready to give her protection in every respect, but she has developed by that time sex desires. Under the circumstances, it is the duty of the father to hand over the girl to a nice young boy to take her protection. This is marriage. Kanyadan. According to Vedic system, Kanya means daughter. It is given in charity to find out a suitable. Practically, I will say, in our childhood age, my sisters were married between 9 to 12 years. My eldest sister was married when she was 9 years old, before my birth. She is the eldest. And my second sister was married at the age of 12 years. And my third sister was married at the age of 11 years. So by the 12 years, the marriage must be finished. That was the duty of the father. I remember, because my second sister was going 12 years, my mother said to my father, "Then I shall go to the river and commit suicide. The daughter is not." You see? The father was very sorry. "Yes, I am trying. What can I do?" And then next generation, when I was also married, man, you know. I was married when my wife was only 11 years old. And at the age of 14 years, she gave birth to first child. And the next generation, when my eldest daughter was married at the age of 16 years, there is little increase, but I was also very much upset that the daughter is 16 years old. But now things have changed. Nobody cares whether the daughter is married or not. That is not good. Another difficulty is that everywhere, all over the world, the female population is greater than on the average than male population. So, if each and every woman has to be married, there is no sufficient number of male population. Therefore, according to Vedic, rituals, those who are higher caste, just like the Kshatriyas or the Brahmans, especially others also, polygamy is allowed. Polygamy is allowed. Just like our most exalted personality, Krishna, he is married 16,000 wives. He's God. Unless he have got so many wives, how he can be God? Not that 16,000 wives, one wife is to be seen one day, so that the turn will come after 16,000 days. No. That is God. He expanded himself into 16,000 forms also, so that every wife was happy to live with the husband. And for Krishna, why 16,000? If he marries 16 million, still it is not sufficient. Because in the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Ishara sarvabhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of all living entities. So all living entities, if Krishna can expand himself to live in the heart of all living entities, and from the heart he comes out to become some woman's husband, is it very difficult for Krishna? That is not difficult. Anyway, the point is that Maharaj Yudhishthira, how responsible king, just think of it. Arjuna was also thinking before fighting, just arguing with Krishna, that if I kill my brothers, all the my sister-in-laws, they'll widow. And there was no such thing as widow marriage in India. No. No widow can marry. Why? Because the woman population is greater than the man. If widow again marries, then the unmarried girl does not get chance to have another husband. Therefore, there was no widow marriage. Widow marriage was especially allowed only when the girl did not see her husband at any time or she had no children. Formerly, in our days, younger days, although the girl was married at an early age, she was not allowed to see her husband unless she is grown up fully, unless she has attained puberty. She is not. She lives with her parents. But she knows that I have got my husband. This consciousness is a great pleasure for a woman, psychologically, that I have got husband. A very nice sister. And when the girl grows up, puberty, then again another ceremony is taken that is almost like second marriage. The girl goes to her husband to live with her husband. This was the system. So women were taken so much care by the Vedic civilization. Still they are taken. It is the duty of the father, until she is married, it is the duty of the father to give her all protection. Therefore the father wants to get unmarried, to get relief from the responsibility. Yes, get responsible. It is called konnadai. Actually, the word is called konnadai. Putra reen. Reen means debt. If you are debtor to somebody, you may not pay it saying, sir, I have no money. Whatever you like, you can do. But dai means a great burden. It must be get relief for. Dai means great responsibility. Dai. Dai bhag. Just like a son inherits the property of the father, it is called dai bhag, law. Similarly, this is the, I want to say, most obligatory duty of the father to get the daughter married. And then it is the duty of the husband next. Just like we get when we perform marriage ceremony in our society, we get the husband promise that he takes charge of the girl for life, and the girl agrees to serve the boy for life. There is no question of divorce. So, the father hands over the charge to a nice boy. Never mind, he is rich or no, that doesn't matter. He must be a responsible boy who knows his responsibility. Not that today I marry and tomorrow I go away, that's all. Not like that. Still, you'll find in India, even the poorest man living with husband and wife very happy. Still, you'll find. I have seen Ahmedabad. One day I saw on the street one husband and wife pulling on a trailer, handcart, with great load, and a small child is on the load. That means their child. They are laborer class. But ordinary laborer class, poor man, but they are living, husband and wife and children. So, marriage is very compulsory in Vedic system because who is to take charge of the woman? They require protection. The father must take charge naturally, or the husband. And when she is old, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking charge of his widow mother. So, when he took sannyas, so mother became very much upset that I have no husband and this boy is going to take sannyas. Naturally. But that is a different case. For Krishna's sake, we can forsake our obligatory duties for Krishna's sake. In the Shastra it is said that one who has fully surrendered to Krishna, he has no more any material duty. Neither he has got any obligation that he must perform. But so long he is not fully surrendered to Krishna, he has to execute each and every duty as obligatory. So the point is that Yudhishthira Maharaj, how much responsible king he was, that for ordinary woman, the soldiers, take for soldiers or officers, commander-in-chief, they died. Now he is thinking of their welfare activities, how to give protection to these women. Just imagine how much responsible king. And he is thinking in this way, that this sinful activity which I have done in this connection by killing their husbands or sons or father, even if I give some donation as welfare, just like in your country there is welfare department, all these helpless girls are given some donation. He says that is not sufficient. That by that way I cannot compensate what harm I have done to them. Even if I give some money, donation, they will not be happy because they have lost their protection. This is called responsibility. How was that thinking? And similarly he was thinking for the children. Naturally, I have sometimes told you that we have got one godbrother, German. He said that in the last war, in the first war, in the first, he started in 1940. So, all the men were killed, everywhere. And the women, they went to the church, either as wife or as sister or as daughter or as mother. Naturally, they prayed for their relatives to come back. But who is coming back? They are all dead. So they became atheist. So there is no God. Because they prayed for their relatives to come back, so that is our position. We want to worship God if He becomes my order supplier. I'll order and He'll supply. Otherwise, there is no God. I don't care for this nonsense God. He must satisfy my senses. I want this, and you must satisfy. Just like the communists, they ask people in general to go to the church, and they say, now pray. So the Christian prayer, oh God, give us our daily bread. So when they come out, the communist leaders, they ask, have you got bread? No, sir. You ask us. They ask, oh, my communist friend, give me the bread. Take bread. That's it. So, common man, they think that bread is coming from these rascals. But actually, bread is coming from God. That because God could not supply bread in the church, they become communists. This is the position. They take God as some solace. What is called? Opiate, yes. When there is no other source, and the whole worldly world, they do not know actually what is God, what is our relationship with, what is God's function. That we will find only in Krishna consciousness movement. That we can say very proudly. What is God? What is the philosophy? What is doing? What is His name? What is His address? What is His father's name? We know everything. That is our position. So, a king must be very responsible for the citizens, how they are happy. Yudhishthira Maharaj was that type of king. Every king was like that. It was the duty of the king to see. You have read already that during Yudhishthira Maharaj's time, there was no excessive heat and excessive cold. Neither there was disease in the country. Because the king was so perfect, so pious, so God-conscious, that these things would not disturb. And the citizens also would abide by the orders of the king. So everything was very peaceful. Very peaceful. So without king, not like the present government officers or rogues, and simply take taxes and let the citizens go to hell. There is no protection for anyone, either for the children, either for the Brahmins, or for the women. No protection. You go to hell. If life can give you some contribution, that's all. The king must be so responsible that he should see to the comfort of the citizens, especially the brahmanas, the children, and the women. This was the duty of the king. Go on, do you have any? Part, do you have any?
The Grihamedis are those whose only business is to perform welfare work for the sake of material prosperity. Such material prosperity is sometimes hampered by sinful activities, and the materialist is sure to commit sins, even unintentionally, in the course of discharging material duties. To get relief from such sinful reactions, the Vedas prescribe several kinds of sacrifices. It is said in the Vedas that by performing the Ashvamedha Yajna, or horse sacrifice, one can get relief from even Brahmahatya, the killing of a Brahman. Yudhishthira Maharaj performed this Ashvamedha Yajna, but he thinks that even by performing such yajnas, it is not possible to get relief from the great sins committed.
Suppose you have done something wrong. So the court finds you. You have done this wrong. Just like one man knocked some of our students and he died, and then he was fined $20,000, like that. So, everyone knows that if I knock somebody or kill somebody, there is motor accident, there is so much trouble. And when there is trouble, actually, they go and give some fine. But the accident is going on. Nobody is careful. So that is the position. Unless one is careful to his sense, that why should I drive so fiercely or without any care, that others may be injured, my car will be injured. Why shall I create this stuff? Let me drive the car very sensuously, conscientiously. So that is required. Simply atonement or giving fine for some misdeed, that is not sufficient. One should be awakened to his knowledge about his responsibility. So, this grihamedhi, there are two words, grihamedhi and grihastha. I have explained many times. Grihamedhi has no philosophy. He is like cats and dogs. Every animal has also family, wife, children. So, those who have no responsibility in life, no Krishna consciousness, they are called grihamedhis. And those who live with family, wife and children, but has got this sense of responsibility that I am meant for developing my dormant Krishna consciousness, they are called grihasthas. There is two words. So don't become grihamedhis, simply having a wife and few children. And that cats and dogs they have also got. That is not required. You find inconvenience to live alone as brahmachari. All right, you take to your wife, live with wife, live responsibly, develop Krishna consciousness. That is grihastha. Not that grihastha like cats and dogs. Thank you very much.